Welcome to Ask the Chief Information Officer on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. Every week, Federal News Radio interviews the CIOs of federal agencies about the latest directives, IT challenges, and successes.
My special guest today is Robert Osborne, the National Nuclear Security Administration's Chief Information Officer. Robert, thank you so much for taking the time to join us.
Hey, Jason. Thanks a lot for having me.
So you've been the CIO at the NNSA for just about a year now. Give us a sense of how's it going so far.
It's hard to believe it's been a year already, but I'm blessed with having a really talented team that's helping me, first of all, set about what our vision is for our three-tiered transformation strategy, and then how we're going to go about and deliver that vision. So the last year has really passed quickly. I'm looking forward to this year, which we're actually delivering some new capabilities, but I couldn't be more pleased with the team.
So I know we're going to get into some of those new capabilities in a little bit, but before we go down that path, before you were CIO, give me a little bit about your background. You were with the National Nuclear Security Administration, or where were you?
Actually, I was with Department of Defense. I spent most of my career before coming to NNSA with the DOD. I was the most recently the deputy CIO at the U.S. Transportation Command, and before that I worked on the Army staff after retiring from the Marine Corps after 27 years.
All right, so it was a kind of a nice little change of pace to go from one high intensity job with the Transportation Command over here to the National Nuclear Security Administration. Is there much of a learning curve, or does it flow? You know, it's kind of still security organization. You still deal with a lot of the same issues.
Well, I guess if you look at our business as strictly IT, you have the same wires and boxes and network concerns. But if you look at it as an enabler to the business capabilities of the organization, it's a pretty significant change when you go from the Department of Defense, which has a current mission that is very ever-changing and supports not only combat operations, but also other disaster-type scenarios, to an organization like NNSA, which has an enduring mission to the nation in delivering the deterrent capabilities and the information surrounding those. So learning this organizational structure, a new relationship with our supporting contractors, was quite a new experience for me, but it's been a blast.
Did you have background around nuclear security or issues that NSA deals with, or were you coming in kind of not totally at zero, but you know, at 10 out of 100?
Well, I would never admit to being at zero to begin with, but I had some background in my career in the Marine Corps and dealing with nuclear capabilities, but it was quite a while ago. I was basically brought in by the principal deputy administrator to help transform the organization into one NNSA, of which, she correctly, I believe, viewed IT is a strategic enabler in allowing that transformation to take place.
Well, let's talk a little bit about that job as CIO. Give me a sense of your everyday work. Or how do you support the NSA mission?
It's never the same each day. I vary each meeting from dealing with budget crisis to personnel issues, dealing with various sites, both on the management and operating contractor side of business, as well as our side office management. I deal directly with all the other associate and deputy administrators for NNSA on setting out what their strategic goals are and then how IT can help enable those.
Would you say you spend a lot of your time on strategy and a little bit on operations, or are you about a 50-50 split?
It changes over time. When I first got here a year ago, I was 100% on strategy as we developed the NNSA network vision, the three pillars of transformation, and then it sways back in towards the operational realm. Like now, we're delivering the federal cloud in our cloud of cloud strategy this year, so I'm focused more on operational right now. But of course, toward the end of this year, we'll swing back into strategy mode as we look across the next few years of what we want to do.
And of course, the never-ending budget cycle that comes, I'm sure that will always keep you busy. Do you have a preference about what you like better? Are you a get-your-hands-dirty type of guy, or do you prefer the big thinking?
I'm a vision guy. I like to understand where an organization wants to go and help them achieve their outcomes on the business side through the proper application of technology.
Does that give you some advantages of being the vision guy, because you can kind of set that high bar, here's where we're going to go, and now here's where we're going to get there, and then you can kind of delegate and just kind of do that trust but verify approach?
Well, I prefer to use partners instead of delegate, but yes, I think it's important that you set the vision, but then collaborate on the execution of that vision, and that requires a lot of strategic partnering as well as operational partnering and then empowering those folks to get that job done.
Let's talk a little bit about your office. How many federal employees do you have? How many contractors do you have? And what was your IT budget for 2011, and what's your IT budget for 2012, roughly?
Like most federal organizations, I have a very complex organizational structure. I have roughly 37 federal employees in my direct report office and about 100 contractors. However, across the sites, in each of the federal sites as well as the M&O contractor sites, we have roughly 450 people, both federal and contractors, who support us. Our budget for 11 was roughly, for the portion that I directly control, about $150 million. Across the enterprise, our IT spend approaches $1.2 billion, but that doesn't include the supercomputing that we also have in all of our sites.
And that $150 million, so, because I know a lot of vendors like to listen to my show, so when you get some calls, you can blame me. But that $150 million, that is salaries, expenses, it's the whole kit and caboodle versus just on projects and programs.
Actually, the $150 million is what I have to apply to our projects and our initiatives.
And then that $1.2 billion spend includes that M&O contractors and other sites.
Right. Each of our sites has their own programs that we are now federating. Soon we'll include within our NMSA Cloud of Clouds vision. But those CIOs all manage those independently.
A lot of concern amongst CIOs being a lot of pressure to get to some IT efficiencies. Mm-hmm. I know you mentioned the cloud vision, the one NSA vision. I think we're going to get to that in just a little bit. But how are you preparing for the smaller budgets, assuming that you will have a smaller budget? Can you give me a sense of what your 2013 request was as compared to maybe other previous years' requests?
When we started the NSA network vision, we had basically three principles that we were trying to achieve. The first was to increase the productivity or the efficiency of our organization by making each one of our lines of business more effective, and doing that through mobility, device agnosticity, basically allowing the individual to receive information they needed from wherever they were with whatever device they had, which is a pretty fundamental and radical change in a computing environment. The second principle that is hand-in-hand with that is we wanted to increase our cybersecurity posture as a direct result. And then as the third was to gain some efficiencies in the cost of our IT spend. Our NSA network vision is achieving that by device agnosticity. We're looking at a bring-your-own-device policy. We're doing virtual desktop infrastructure. We're doing mobility through smartphones and pad devices. We're going to a hybrid cloud. We'll talk about all of those later, but it basically allows us to reduce our spend by decreasing the cost of each element of our network while at the same time increasing our cybersecurity posture, and the mobility increases the effectiveness.
Very interesting. One of the things that you hear a lot from CIOs is trying to take money from the back end, back office systems, and push it to the mission. Is that also your goal, or do you have a certain number that you have to cut just from the IT budget generally? Like sometimes you hear in the Navy, they're trying to reduce their IT spend by $1 billion over the next 5 years.
We are taking the former track. Our intent is to reduce our IT spend so we roll that back into mission dollars. We realize that budgets are going to remain constrained over the foreseeable future. And while traditionally IT is seen as a cost center and is a recipient of some of the most vicious cuts in a budget cycle, we're value add to the NNSA. So we're actually able to maintain our transformation within our current budget by reducing those cost centers, but then reapplying that to mission support. So it's going to work really well for us going forward. And it actually creates a model, I think, that is viable for a multitude of agencies who are going to be facing the same type of budget constraints.
Absolutely. That's a challenge I hear from CIOs time and again. Let's take a quick break. When we come back, you give us a little bit of preview of your priorities. We're going to take a big deep dive into them. You're listening to Ask the CIO on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. I'm Jason Miller, and my special guest today is Robert Osborne, the National Nuclear Security Administration's Chief Information Officer.
This heavyweight bout is about to begin. The challenger wears white trunks with a blue stripe, and the champ is wearing, looks like an examination gown from the doctor's office. And from the back, we can... Ooh, that's not pretty. Champ, what's with the crazy getup?
I've got to take care of my family.
Yeah, so?
When you love your family, you got to go in and get those important medical screens. A lot of potentially deadly diseases can be treated if you catch them in time.
So you wear the examination gown because...
Because I'm a real man. Real men take care of their families and get those tests. Real men wear gowns.
Okay, champ. Good luck. Here we go. The champ's not wasting any time. Ooh. It's over. This fight is over. Champ, you barely broke a sweat. Any words for your fans out there?
Remember, go to ahrq.gov for a list of the tests they need to get and when to get them.
What was that web address again?
ahrq.gov. And remember, real men wear gowns.
Go to ahrq.gov. This message brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, AHRQ, and the Ad Council.
Welcome back. You're listening to Ask the CIO on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. I'm Jason Miller, and my special guest today is Robert Osborne, the National Nuclear Security Administration's Chief Information Officer. Now, Robert, before break, just try to give us a little bit of a heads up about your priorities. You mentioned two big ones, the cloud clouds and the transformation of into the one NNSA. Let's start with either of those. Give us a sense of what you're trying to accomplish.
When I started this a year ago, we came up with a vision to transform the agency to increase our mobility, to have the employees be more effective and able to work from wherever they are, increase our cybersecurity posture, of course, which is the nature of our work here at the NNSA, and then to reduce our costs. We titled that transformation our information management transformation, and it has three pillars. The first pillar is the NNSA network vision. The second is the Joint Cybersecurity Coordination Center. And the third is the Cyber Sciences Laboratory. Our current transformation and what we're focusing on today is the NNSA network vision. And we call this our cloud of clouds approach. Our intent is to deliver a device agnostic, mobile, virtual desktop environment that can be accessed by our employees from wherever they are by whatever device they have handy in a secure environment so that they can carry on their work wherever they are. We do this by fundamentally transforming the architecture underpinning our computing environment. So the device agnosticity allows us to increase the effectiveness of our employees by allowing them to access their information from wherever they are with whatever device they have in a secure environment. It also reduces the cost of our infrastructure. We're going to deliver the virtual desktop infrastructure, which will reduce our IT spend by allowing us to go from thick client to a thin or zero client deployment within the office space, and allow them to use a tablet or smartphone device of their choice when they're mobile to be most effective. All that drives the cost down, allows us to rededicate that income towards additional capabilities throughout the enterprise.
Let me jump in real quick. You talked about moving to a VDI to a thin or zero client from a thick client. There's a lot of move back to the thin client. I hear that again often. Let me start, two questions kind of drive from that. One is cost estimate. You say it's going to save you some money. Maybe early because you guys aren't there yet. Give me a sense of, if you can, what you think savings may come from that. And why will it be more secure? And why are there efficiencies in moving to a thin client or a zero client?
The individual device costs us significantly less. Where today, our mobile worker uses a laptop computer, costs us roughly $1,200 each. I can go to a tablet device. Let's say even if I outfitted everyone who currently has a laptop with a tablet device, they cost roughly $450 each. So the per unit cost derives a significant amount of savings. At the desktop level, going from the thick client desktop device is, again, $1,000 to a current thin or zero client device. When you multiply that times the 20 to 30,000 devices we have as endpoints, that's a significant amount of infrastructure costs that we can avoid, and all of the maintenance costs that go along with those. From the security perspective, this is one of those rare win-wins that we get with current technology. Because of the nature of the thick client, we have to download a lot of infrastructure software onto each of those devices, which has residual data once the client is logged off of the server environment or the connection is broken. If that device lost, that creates a real problem for us in the NNSA, and we have to really be careful of what information is left out there. With the virtual desktop infrastructure, of course, when you log off of your session and off of the server, there's no residual data left on that client device. So it opens up the possibility of bring your own device type of an architecture with a device agnosticity that allows people to work in the way that they're comfortable with the devices that they're more comfortable with, and it abstracts that risk back from the endpoint of the device into the server environment where we have greater control and understanding what's going on.
When you talk about tablet devices, are we talking iPads? Are you talking Android devices, BlackBerry Playbooks? Or I know you've said many times device agnostic, so maybe you don't care what it is as long as it meets a certain security specification, or it really could be anything that's on the commercial market now.
So you go through phases, and the initial phase is we're rolling into our VDI deployment where we're using various software technologies that act kind of a thin client and yet not quite there. So we're more controlled in our deployment now. We're using a couple of tablets. I'll remain vendor neutral. But we're able to accommodate any of those. Future, when you're actually VDI, any browser will do, right? So then I really don't care what you're using. You're the lower end of my risk scale, so we're good to go then.
And that also comes into play where the bring your own device comes in, because once you get to the full VDI, you don't care what device the person uses.
That's correct. Any browser will do.
Are there other concerns around bringing your own device? Because again, that's something that's coming up a lot. The Veterans Affairs Department's going down that path. Even Interior now can let you bring your own device and do some time and attendance stuff. But you guys are more, in many ways, because of the classified nature of your work, that adds another layer of complexity to it.
Sure. And of course, there are different domains that we're operating in. What we're describing now is our unclassified networks. Our other networks have specific security requirements that require a little bit different architectural approach. But when you talk about the ability to be device agnostic, or bring your own device more specifically, it's really a policy issue on, you know, how much of the data plan, for example, does the government provide, or any at all, or do you have to wipe a part of the individual's device if there is a spillage where someone downloads sensitive information, not classified information, but just sensitive information that you wouldn't want left on a personal device. Those types of policy issues are really what cause most people pause, but we've been working very closely with our general counsel and our contracting folks to make sure that we're doing this in a well-thought-out manner, and we're not going to put the government nor the individual at risk.
Have you solved that yet, or is that still a work in progress? Because I think you're right, that is the biggest thing that agencies need to overcome.
We're close, but not solved yet. There are a lot of nuances in the legal profession that I am not a professional at, so I'll leave that to them, but we're getting close. We're going to have that solved by the time we get to the full VDI deployment.
I think you'll get a lot of interest from other agencies, so I think people will be... Let me back up to some of the other priorities you mentioned around the network vision. There's also, I imagine, you trying to get into a federated network you mentioned. Can you talk a little bit about that federation?
We're still on the first pillar of the three in the NNSA network vision, which is really a cloud of clouds. So while we recognize going into the transformation that we wanted to be able to free up the worker to be as effective as they can be, work from wherever they need to be, we also realized that one size didn't fit all in a complex organization such as NNSA. And I know a lot of agencies face the same conundrum. We have three basic groups that we have to accommodate: our federal worker, we have our laboratory research community, and then we have our plant production environment. So those three environments have some unique requirements, and fundamentally they handle different information and they collaborate with different groups of people that have to be accommodated. So rather than try to have one size fits all, or to federate between architectures, which in my experience has a very low probability of success and a very high cost, we decided to embark on a cloud of clouds approach, where we take advantage of all the promise of a hybrid cloud and we actually allow the practitioners in those three groups to define what their architecture looks like with a common set of enterprise architectural principles that allows it all to work together in the end. We are rolling out this year the federal cloud, and we're in the design phase for the lab and plant clouds, and then we'll go into production on those next year.
Let's take a quick break. There's plenty I want to follow up with you. You're listening to Ask the CIO on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. I'm Jason Miller, and my special guest today is Robert Osborne, National Nuclear Security Administration's Chief Information Officer.
Excuse me, do you know how to get to Maine and Maple?
Do you have these in a 7.5?
How's that cooked?
Can I get that shipped overnight?
Is there a direct flight?
How long does the warranty last?
What's your soup of the day?
How do you change the ringtone?
Does it come in blue?
Does this bus stop at Elm Street?
We ask questions everywhere in life.
Is it raining out?
What time's the meeting?
How much does this cost?
Does it have four-wheel drive?
Have we met before?
What's my account balance?
Yet somehow, when we get to the doctor's office...
Any questions?
No.
We clam up. Ask questions.
What is this test for?
Are there any side effects?
When do I get my results?
Questions lead to better health care. Go to ahrq.gov for a list of 10 questions everyone should know. Questions are the answer. Public service announcement brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
Welcome back. You're listening to Ask the CIO on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. I'm Jason Miller, and my special guest today is Robert Osborne, the National Nuclear Security Administration's Chief Information Officer. Before break, we were talking about cloud of clouds. You had a federal cloud that you were beginning to implement. You're in the design phase for the cloud for the lab and the production. Are these hybrid clouds, meaning there's a portion that's public and a portion that's private cloud? Is it all private cloud? Give me a sense of what you're trying to accomplish around public-private clouds.
When we decided to do the Cloud of Clouds approach, Jason, really trying to understand what was the best technology for our application. Of course, there's a great push by the administration to move into the cloud and ask 10 people what a cloud means, and you get 10 different answers, right? We really wanted to take the approach of which application that works for us from the perspective of security as well as accessibility and the ability to create independent environments for our different sectors, that being the laboratories, the plants, and the federal workforce, because there's some specific data elements that we want to make sure are exclusive to that individual environment. So when we approached this, it turned out that we are using private cloud technology in partnership with service delivery vendors. So it's more of a hybrid, but not fully as you would describe that traditionally. So as most things that we do here at NNSA, there's a little twist to it that makes it kind of unique to our delivery, but it has been very effective for us. Fundamentally, we can't go to a public cloud purely because we have to know where our data resides. And with some of the technologies we're putting in place for management in the clouds, it will allow us to compartmentalize that data and create enclaves for each of our environments. So we're pretty excited about that. It's kind of unique, and I think it's going to revolutionize how government can take advantage of cloud technology.
It's interesting because the way you described it was almost like a managed service offering where you own the data, you own the machines, but maybe the vendor kind of does the M&O. Is it closer to that type of setup?
Yeah, that's basically the architectural approach, depending on which, again, one size doesn't fit all. So we may use that exact managed service for the federal portion of the cloud, but within the same infrastructure, we could have another enclave that is a fully federal or M&O managed environment and utilizing the same hardware and architecture. So that type of flexibility is really going to pay dividends for us and allow us to control the information where we need to and yet have the flexibility to take advantage of the elasticity of the cloud.
You talked about moving the desktop to the cloud, virtual desktop. What are some of the other functions you're looking at into the cloud? Email collaboration? Are you looking at any mission critical apps yet?
So there are three critical elements to the NNSA network vision that we are delivering as part of our offering. The first is your cloud. And your cloud is fundamentally that architectural cloud infrastructure. It's an infrastructure on demand capability. It was actually developed by a Los Alamos National Laboratory. And that will allow us to provide a already provisioned and certified technical environment that you can stand up however many servers you need to do whatever work that you want in a inherited security enclave. So your cloud is going to fundamentally change how each of our target groups can utilize this cloud offering in a very quick fashion and of course, get rid of all the overhead costs and what do you do with the servers after you're done with your project, et cetera. So the lifecycle costs go down drastically in that model. The other part is the one DOE network that we're creating. We need big pipes, so a lot of video that we're throwing around here now with the desktop video capabilities, et cetera, and we're harnessing the power of our science network in a true collaborative fashion across the entire enterprise so that we have nice big infrastructure that can handle the data loads that we're going to be throwing at it. And the final is One Voice. That's a integrated communication stack that takes us beyond email into a social networking environment that is truly where everyone's trying to go, and we need to be able to offer that to our community as well.
All right. Very nice. A lot going on around cloud, a lot of different projects. Let me jump over to some of your other priorities. You talked about there's three pillars, the Joint Cyber Center and the Cyber Science Lab. Give me a sense of what both of those are about.
When we started this, we wanted to make sure that we weren't doing IT just for IT's sake. Everything we're doing is trying to support the increased effectiveness of our user community. So we looked holistically at what we're trying to do now, what we're going to do in the future, and then how do we protect the future. So the three pillars are fundamentally the NNSA network vision is upgrading our infrastructure and increasing our current capabilities. The Joint Cybersecurity Coordination Center allows us to understand the health of our networks, our systems, and our data. Today, we have three disparate organizations that look at cybersecurity for us. We've got some folks in intelligence who look at it. We've got our own cybersecurity folks in NNSA. We've got the DOE cybersecurity folks. The director of NNSA's intelligence directorate, the DOE CIO, Mike Lukaitis, and I came together and we agreed that there was great efficiencies to be gained and a real uptick in effectiveness by co-locating and integrating those three organizations. We call that the Joint Cybersecurity Coordination Center, and that will allow us to drastically decrease our response time increase our understanding of the health of our networks, our data, and our systems, and then provide a cross-collaboration capabilities between the federal and the MNO sites across the enterprise. So that's, you know, it's a opportunity for us to, once again, increase our cybersecurity posture, have a real impact on effectiveness while driving our costs down at the same time.
Is that also going to give you the continuous monitoring capabilities that you need based on the OMB mandate, as well as kind of make a change around how you secure your network?
So it will allow us to collaborate with all of our MNO network operators, as well as the federal operators, and understanding what's happening on those networks. Of course, that's continuous monitoring is something that we do to some degree or another in all of our networks today. Cybersecurity response is huge to us, understanding exactly what's going on in the networks of NNSA is part of my job. So I have to make sure that that is maintained. And the JC3, as we refer to it, will definitely increase that capability.
When will that center be set up, or is it already set up?
It always comes down to, do you have enough money and when are you going to deliver it, right? Well, we're in IOC this fiscal year. We actually, Bruce Held and Michael Kaitis and I recognized the importance of this capability early on. So in October of 2011, we actually created what we call the incubator for the JC3. Each of us assigned one of our senior analysts to co-locate. They actually sit together here in the Forrestal and exchange that information that we hope to get from the synergy of the co-location of the actual organizations later on. We have an IPT stood up right now that's looking at the construct and governance of the JC3, and we expect IOC to be by the end of this FY.
Before I let you go, give me a sense about vendors. There's a lot of vendors who listen to the show. They're going to be interested in all these projects you're working on. What should they know about working with your office? How do you like them to contact you?
You know, I love all the vendors because we wouldn't be doing any of this without them, I'll tell you that. I try to leverage contract support wherever possible. I believe that's the way that you get the best, most current solution sets to your problems. And I have an active outreach for that. My chief technical officer, Travis Howerton, is the guy who really does the nut and bolts, you know, pull back the kimono and let's take a look at where your potential solution fits. I like talking to everyone. I mean, you know, call my office and Sandy, my assistant, we'll definitely see if there's time on the calendar. Let's see what you got. And if it looks worthwhile, we'll get you in touch with Travis Howerton and see if we can do a little business.
You want to provide that phone number, or should they just give them a challenge and have them look it up?
Well, if they're really good, they'll already know it, right?
You never know. All right. Well, it sounds like we could continue to talk much longer, but unfortunately, we are out of time. You've been listening to Ask the CIO on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. I'm Jason Miller. My special guest today was Robert Osborne, the National Nuclear Security Administration's Chief Information Officer. Robert, this has been more than enjoyable. Thank you so much for taking the time to join us.
Jason, thanks a lot for the opportunity, and I really look forward to hearing what you have to say on other topics on the radio.
You've been listening to Ask the Chief Information Officer on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. If you missed any part of this program, you can hear it in its entirety on our website, federalnewsradio.com. Ask the CIO, only on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM, WFED. Your source for federal news now.
As cybersecurity threats intensify, federal agencies are reviewing their technology management framework, looking towards increased reliance on continuous monitoring and collaboration. Join AFSEA Bethesda on March 23rd at the Bethesda North Marriott as a panel of chief information security officers from DOT, DOJ, and DOE share their thoughts on how collaborative initiatives will redefine the security spectrum in the coming year. Register today at afseabethesda.org/marbreakfast.
Want the latest Department of Defense news? Listen every Wednesday for DoD Wednesday on Federal News Radio. Wednesday afternoons at 2, Federal News Radio DoD reporter Jared Serbu hosts On DoD, a discussion with senior managers about how the department meets its mission. Then stick around Wednesday afternoons at 3 when in-depth host Francis Rose brings you Pentagon Solutions, a deep dive into the issues and challenges of the defense community. All this plus our daily DoD updates at 40 past the hour, only on Federal News Radio 1500 AM.